The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, Hour 2, on April 6, 2019. So, did you do your homework and learn what MRIP is, anybody? Well, it's a division of NOAA, the Fisheries Division, the Marine Recreational Information Program, a state, regional, federal partnership that develops, improves, and implements a network of surveys to measure the number of trips saltwater anglers take and the number of fish they catch. Recreational catch and effort estimates are combined with commercial catch data, biological research, and direct observations of fisheries to help scientists and managers assess and maintain sustainable U.S. fish stocks. What prompted this was a letter that I got last night from called Fish Report from Captain Monty Hawkins. Greetings, all. Went up to D.C. a couple days. Had some fishy business on my mind. Thoughts I needed to share with my senators and congressmen. Spent a day touring with guide extraordinaire Tracy Dunaway. She's seriously good at what she does. The meetings with D.C. staffers went very well also. Those folks are professional. Not many people get it, but we're getting hammered by MRIP's catch estimates. I see New York had close to 2 million pounds of cod recently, but only a couple thousand pounds were caught on party and charter boats. What's the chance of 1.6 million pounds of cod crossed recreational docks from private boats in a hardy winter weather and their party boat fleet didn't get on it? What he's saying is, 1.6 million pounds of cod were allegedly caught by private anglers, but only a couple thousand pounds were caught by party and charter boats that targeted cod. Zero. There's no chance, that to happen. New York's for hire guys told NOAA, MRIP, how many cod they caught. The entirety of that 1.7 million pounds of private boat catch is 99.9% statistical illusion. A farce, actually. Then, too, there's the recent hubbub over striped bass. Teeny tiny tip of that iceberg. In 2017, MRIP has Massachusetts and Connecticut at nearly a million pounds of shore catch, while Rhode Island's shore landings were only 750,000. But get this. Here's the average size. Those shore-caught stripers. Connecticut, 19.6 pounds. Massachusetts, 33.4 pounds. And Rhode Island, 33.8 pounds. And the grand prize for average shore-caught stripers is Rhode Island in 2018 at 45.1 pounds of shore-caught. That's their average size of striped bass caught from the shore. So, how about Maryland shore anglers caught more than 3 years' worth of Maryland party sea bass, and they averaged 1.4 pounds apiece from shore? Maryland anglers, shore anglers caught more than 3 years' worth of Maryland party and charter sea bass, and they averaged 1.4 pounds apiece from shore. What that means is, according to MRIP, shore-bound anglers in Maryland caught bigger sea bass from shore and three times as many sea bass from shore as the party boats that go after them every single day, offshore, on the reefs, where they live. In Delaware last year, sea bass caught from shore averaged 1.9 pounds. All these estimates turn into pounds counted against our recreational quotas, and that's always been the case. Now MRIP's recreational cast estimates have grown so bad, they're influencing species population estimates. Well, says Mr. Fishery Scientist, if they caught that many fish, then our population estimate number here needs to be a lot bigger. That's why commercial fishers just had a 49% increase in their summer flounder quota, their fluke quota. And recreational anglers got nothing. We're already catching ours, of course, according to the Maryland Recreational Information Program, MRIP. Maybe you don't see. A lot of people don't. It's going to take a heck of a lot more than just me going to Congress to complain. There's no recreational marine species that's not affected by MRIP's estimates. Management has quite nearly completely lost faith in the data. If we will not call and write our state fisheries and congressional representatives, NOAA will never change them. At the rate they're increasing our catch, we'll soon have a 90% of our quota caught on only a computer. And commercial interests are mopping up all their increased quotas. It's been happening for a long time. Now it's getting worse every year. The more info, Redfish Reports, 327-19 at MorningstarFishing.com. We forced change with the 2007 rewrite of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. NOAA made a change, all right. A sharp, smelly stick right in her eye. Needs fixing. Letters to Congress, only thing I see that might work. Tell Congress MRIP needs a way to test their data, a way to truth it, and soon. Regards, Captain Monty Hawkins, Party Boat, Morningstar. Fisheries biologist, weigh in on that for me, will you? You're hearing these numbers, and you're calculating them in your head, which you have done for eons. We've got at least two, maybe three recreational fisheries biologists in the listening audience. What's Captain Monty telling us? Translate it for our listeners, please. I know, Uncle Dale, you're out there. I know you're listening. I know, Rudy, you're out there. I don't know if Tom's out there. I don't know if Marty's out there, but you guys know about this stuff. Give us a hand here. What do our listeners think of this? Basically, what Captain Monty is saying is that the recreational catch is so overestimated that the scientists are saying, well, if you're catching this many fish, then we need to reassess what we think the population of these fish is. And we must have far more fish out there to reflect these kind of numbers. Therefore, the recreational guys are catching their quota, but the commercial guys aren't, so we need to increase the limits for commercial anglers to catch more of this increased population that we're hearing from the recreational surveys. What? Does that even make sense? I mean, it's federal government. I mean, yeah, I get that. Okay. But the question is, huh? And that's the question that Captain Monty's asking. He's saying, on sea bass, which you can catch occasionally from shore, you know, if you're fishing Indian River Inlet or something like that, you may catch a sea bass every now and then. Or you may target sea bass and catch a couple. Okay. But they're not 1.9 pounds apiece on average. And the shorebound anglers aren't catching three times what the party boat anglers are catching, who target sea bass every day and go where they live, offshore on the wrecks. Something's screwed up here. So if the Federal Recreational Informational Program is that skewed, and these are the guidelines that the state fisheries managers are using, how screwed up is the whole system? I hear you, Rob. How screwed up is it? What do they say? What do they say about statistics? I can't remember what the quote is about statistics. But these estimates are just off the charts. So I would like to hear from our fisheries guys. I would like to hear from anybody listening on that side who would like to talk about this. Every time we have a fisheries person on here, and we haven't been too successful with that this year, okay, they talk about the angler's log, they talk about the surveys, they talk about checking out the website, you know, going on taking a survey, creel surveys and things like that. That's what you're talking about. That's why you had to have your Social Security affiliated with your fishing license so you could get on this program that, you know, monitors everybody who's fishing in saltwater. Remember that a couple years ago, the big controversy? I ain't buying a fishing license. I ain't giving nobody my Social Security number. So, you know, that type of thing. That was to get on the angler survey program. You know what, Chris? I don't know what to say today. I really don't. I'm uninspirational today. Thought this would be something that people... Man, that's right. You know, nothing.
Yep, not if people figure it doesn't affect me, so why should I worry
about it? Why? It doesn't affect me. Why should I worry about it? You know?
But you'll miss it when it's gone.
I don't care about handguns. I don't have a handgun. I don't care about handguns. I don't care about them black rifles. I don't have one of them AR guns. What do I care? I don't have an assault weapon. What do I care? I don't fish for sea bass. What do I care? I don't fish offshore for striper or off land for stripers. What do I care? I go out in the bay and catch mine in the trophy season. Why do I care about what they're doing with these numbers? You're going to care.
Mm-hmm. When it's gone.
When the commercial fisheries gets their quota increased because of a recreational survey, you're going to care. You're going to care when the big females are caught before they can spawn and sold on the commercial market. Before they can spawn and reproduce, and you're going to care when the surveys, the young of the year surveys, come back reduced over a 10-year term, and then you're going to go, well, why are they increasing the size limit? Why are they cutting the limit back? Why are they cutting the recreational season? You're going to care. Some very wise person said one time, people only care when it's their ox that's being gored. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Do you have all the phone numbers of all our listeners? We're going to start calling them. Because they're not calling us. 410-922-6680 if you'd like to weigh in. Folks, we're talking about things that are made. We're talking about decisions that are made at a level above ours as general citizens here of the state and the country, okay, that affect us. And if you want to sit with your head up your in the sand, please do. But there are some of us who are passionate about our recreational opportunities and activities. There are some of us very few that care about it. Okay? And we're the ones that are the John the Baptist ones, you know? We're the ones that are out there going, hey, something big's coming. Hey, y'all, pay attention. And we're also the ones that are getting our heads cut off. I don't know if you're getting that message or not, but you've got to start caring. You've got to start caring. You can't continue to let somebody else carry your water. I talked to a very well-known firearms dealer yesterday, and I said, where is the Maryland Licensed Firearms Dealers Association? Where's their lobbyist? We don't have one. We let our guy go because of a conflict of interest 3 years ago. I said, where are you this year? Where's the gun lobby this year? Oh, well, the NRA was there, and Maryland Shall Issue was there, and Associated Gun Clubs from Baltimore was there. To my knowledge, only the NRA has a lobbyist, paid lobbyist. Okay? Maryland Hunting Coalition was there. Where was the National Shooting Sports Foundation? The Trade Association of the Firearms and Ammunition Industry. Where were they? Oh, I forgot. They were lobbying for statewide Sunday hunting. That's where NSSF was. Let's talk to Mo in Abu Dhabi. Good morning, Mo. I bet you are in Abu Dhabi.
Mr. Allen Ellis, we are a saint down here. We love you. We love hunting down here. We don't do no sea bass, but we love hunting monkeys and
oh, you've made my morning. You're an idiot, but you've made my day.
Oh, we love you. I call you next week. Okay? I call you next week.
Bye, Mo.
Special prize for you.
I'm going to have a special prize for you. Mike in Essex, how are you?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right, I guess.
What's up?
Deer are pretty much staying off the roadways, but they are being a little stupid every once in a while, but they're staying off the roadways.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yep. As for the state of affairs and the firearms in Maryland,
yep,
I got two words. It sucks.
Well, yeah, of course it does. Why?
It sucks because the place is pretty much run by Howard County, Montgomery County, Baltimore City, and PG County.
What place?
The state in general.
You mean the state house. You mean the delegates and senators who have sway. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I think you're incorrect. I think the most powerful man in Maryland is Mike Miller, who happens to be the president of the Senate, who happens to be from Southern Maryland.
Well, there's no new blood. I mean, we keep repeating the same.
Oh, there's new blood every 4 years. Wait, Mike, if you're going to call in and talk about that, okay, understand that every 4 years we turn over about a third of our General Assembly. And we have a bunch of new members this year, and they all are activists, and they all want to make sure that their names come to the forefront by sponsoring legislation, whether it goes anywhere or not.
Yeah, but it's all knee-jerk, reactionary, not really doing anything, just...
Well, you know, these gun laws, all this gun legislation against long guns stems from a couple of things. The school shooting in Southern Maryland, number two. Number one was a tragedy that took place at the National Capitol office where five people were murdered by a man who was continuously making threats who wasn't taken seriously. And one day he walked in with a shotgun and he murdered five people. And the Mothers Against Gun Violence, dressed in their red outfits, went from office to office in the General Assembly and said, won't you remember those poor people who were killed by a shotgun? And everybody that owns a shotgun is a danger. And everybody that owns a long gun is a danger. So you need to regulate and license and fingerprint every gun owner in Maryland, including those recreational hunters who, you know, who don't get written up for breaking the law. The law-abiding gun owners are being punished by these laws. I don't understand it, but that's the lobbying effort by people with an emotional argument based on a tragedy. And the lawmakers go, oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yes, we'll take care of it. We'll introduce legislation and we'll get these guns off the street and we'll punish these bad guys and we'll keep a record of everybody that owns a gun in Maryland.
Okay, well, there's also the other two sides of it, too. Bad guys don't respect laws.
No question.
Can't make sense to crazy people.
Exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right. But let's take the whole population of gun owners in Maryland. Let's paint them all with a big broad brush. Let's regulate all of them. Let's fingerprint all of them. Let's register all of them. Let's make sure that one gun doesn't move from person A to person B in a legal transaction that's been honored for generations. Let's make them go to a dealer and take Grandpa's gun, that 300 or that 30-06, you can't do a private purchase with that. You can't pass that down to your grandson. No, you can't sell it to your brother-in-law. No, you got to go to a dealer, and everybody got to fill out paperwork. You got to fill out more paperwork and paperwork and more paperwork and paperwork and more paperwork. And get your fingerprints and get photographed and get a license, and then we have everybody's record of everything.
I do have one question, though. Out of everything that came out of Annapolis this year,
yeah,
is it pretty much set in stone now what they actually intended for all the gun legislation?
No. You got till midnight Monday. Everything could change. Everything could change. Now, the committees entertained amendment. I mean, you know, you took from page 6 to page 14 on House Bill 786, and basically the same thing on Senate Bill 737, and reduced all that down. So now we're going away from the registration and the licensing and the fingerprinting and the state police and, you know, regulated long guns. We've gone away from all that to basically closing the, quote, gun show loophole, which is secondary sales.
So essentially what they're saying now is, you know, pretty much like the way that they've always handled or they have handled pistols in recent years, is if you want to do a pistol transfer, you got to go to the MSP.
Right.
To do the transfer through the MSP from person to person.
Right.
So essentially they're going to do that now with long guns.
Only it'll be through a dealer, a licensed federal firearms dealer.
Oh, I've had that thing years ago. We transferred each other's years and years ago. Not now. It's kind of like when they start talking about...
We won't know any of this till Monday.
You lost it all overseas.
Mike. You won't know any of this till Monday night, till it's all done.
Yeah.
But all these bills are moving. The pieces or parts are moving back and forth between the House and the Senate. Okay? The House watered down the bill to secondary transfer. Okay? The Senate took a look at that and watered the bill down further. But who knows what's going to come out in the end? You got 48 hours yet left in the General Assembly. Till Monday night at midnight.
And if you also, there's probably going to be a bunch of the Eastern Shore saying, we're going to remember what you did to us.
Well, no question about it. But the Eastern Shore is not the problem. The Eastern Shore is not the problem. It's the hand-wringers.
Yeah.
Okay? In the suburbs. Mike?
All I can do is shake my head.
Mike?
Yes?
Money talks
and other stuff walks.
BS walks. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you can go to your club meeting and you can moan and groan about these laws and you can go to your local legislator and tell them what you think. And that's what you should do. But don't go to your club and moan and groan and then say, okay, boys, bring out the crown. We've had our meeting.
I do
and be done with
sure.
it.
Like,
you got to get, you got to get
Delaware.
What's that?
My wife
yeah.
is career government, but
yep.
we are not retiring in Maryland.
I understand it. I understand it. So, yep. All right, Mike. Well, let's roll along. Thank you for the call. Stay tuned. Sine die is Monday night. Thank God.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Uncle Dale. We went from fish to guns.
Yeah, well, whatever. But, you know, Alan, there's an affliction that's encompassed Maryland sportsmen's hunters and fishers. It's called cranial rectal inversion. I hope that doesn't get you thrown off.
No. I said that same thing, only in no uncertain terms, about Paris Glendening, whose name was taken in vain earlier.
They're waiting for somebody else to do it, and it just doesn't work that way. So, but with respect to the statistics, Alan, it's when I was in school, well, the first bit of advice I got from my stat professor was to read a book. It was called Lying with Statistics. So, without knowing the parameters around those surveys, it just, you have to wonder what level of precision these surveys operate under.
Right.
They have, you know, confidence limits to say, well, you know, that's just a measure of precision.
Right.
So, but some of the examples that you read from mine, I was about fell off the throne when I was listening to it. It catching all that sea bass from shore. It doesn't take a fisheries biologist out to figure out that something is not quite right here.
Exactly.
But is
the problem the people that look at the data at the end of the day? Is it a problem that the people enter the data and go, well, these are the numbers, I'm just putting them in the system, you know? And is it some aide? Is it some staffer that's doing this stuff, or are these guys?
Well, without, I mean, you can have a bean counter analyzing all this data, Alan. But if you're not familiar with the fishery, as Monty is, there's a lot more to it than just the numbers. And somebody familiar with the fishery would immediately see that something is amiss.
Right.
And that's the problem. You got these bureaucrats and administrators who are, I'm not even sure you could call it analyzing the data, that are making the decision. And that's the problem. And again, you might have some good biologists working on the analysis, but, they just pass it up the line. And if you get, you know as well as I do, there's a political agenda behind everything,
and you
get somebody above them that's has this agenda. You know, they're gonna manipulate that data how they want it.
That's correct. That's correct.
So, I'm not saying that happens in Maryland, but again, you know as well as I do, Alan. There's a political agenda to everything in this state.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
you know, here's what people don't understand either. There's a lot of difference between legislation and regulation.
Right.
Because one leads to the other. And legislation can be written in such so broad of a term that it can lead to regulation.
Exactly.
That is just horrendous. So, well, I appreciate you chiming in on that.
Without getting into a whole lot of detail, and your point is well taken, Alan. It's up to the Maryland sportsmen if they want to institute change. They're just going to have to get off their duffs. But from what I've seen over the last 5 years, with you in particular, very few are going to step to the plate.
Well, I think you're right. So.
Got six yesterday.
Oh, good. At least you're there.
So, yeah.
At least you're starting. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk later about it.
Yeah, man. That sounds good. I know what you're talking about. All right, buddy.
Alan,
thanks.
Alan, thanks.
All right, Dale. Talk soon.
See you.
Bye-bye. There he goes. And Glenn in Chestertown. Hey, Glenn. How you doing, man?
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I've said before that they need to really look at like snow goose situation, because it isn't hardly any around.
Yeah.
Here. It's just up Eastern Shore anyway. I know about down
right
Eastern way, but anyway, hearing these new gun laws.
Yeah.
Like I've said before, the legislators that put up these stupid gun laws, they're going, really putting laws up that backseat against themselves. Again,
No. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Exactly. Do any of these legislators, I wonder how many of them have, like, the concealed carry or anything, or they probably, some of them have probably, you know, a security person or two.
Oh, whatever, sure.
That have guns, so, you know.
Yeah, no question. I mean, everybody is that's trying to do away with our Second Amendment is surrounded by people with guns.
Yep,
no question. So, well, we'll see what we can do about that snow geese thing for you, buddy. All right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like I said, I mean, the carrying the geese is going to be down, and if it comes to a moratorium again, like I said, we're not going to have the snow geese to fall back on.
That's true. Ducks are going to take a pounding next year, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no question. So.
I don't have that much chance. Where I went this time, a friend's place that's on the water, but we hardly, I mean, we saw some, but very little comparatively what it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right.
It's bad. It's bad all over. We just got to get involved and get interested. Thanks, Glenn.
Yep. Well, catch you later.
See you, bud. I'll do it. Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Nice guy. Met him down at the outdoor show. You do have one listener in Canada. I live in Petawawa, Ontario, since June. I'll be here till September. Petawawa is about 100 miles northwest of Ottawa, and I listen every Saturday. The reason the location may sound familiar, I emailed before when you were scouting for listeners. Regards from Ralph. Thanks, Ralph. We do have a Canadian listener. We are an international show, and we know it. North America, South America, and beyond our borders, everywhere. Now it's time for me to tell you about Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge. They have the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. Not only on the Eastern Shore, but in the entire Delmarva Peninsula, maybe even the Western Hemisphere. Stop in to see the selection or grab some at the drive-thru. And breakfast at Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge is served from 6 to 11 Monday through Friday, all day Saturday. When I'm on Route 50, I'm headed to or from the fishing grounds or the beach. My mouth and my belly just can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. I look for the big donut on the side of the building. You've seen it, Chris. Big pink donut, right?
Yes, I've seen it.
Pink frosted donut with what do they call them? Sprinkles. And there's a chocolate donut on the sign on the highway, on the building on the front. Even after your morning adventure from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Your hosts are Dave and Gina Levy. They're trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. And they do. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think big donut. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors, that's your first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Anything and everything you need for striped bass season coming up. They've got the trolling baits. They've got custom baits by a couple local manufacturers that focus on our striped bass. We've got the planer boards with all the custom gear, all the clips and the lines and everything else. So rewind the line on your trolling reel if you need. They do have the largest selection on Kent Island of fishing and crabbing supplies. Rods, reels, and tackle for the Chesapeake, for tidal rivers and freshwater fishing. A full selection of live bait and frozen bait right there at Chesapeake Outdoors. They got the Yeti coolers, the Costa sunglasses, the Bubba Blade knives, their own cool like looking t-shirts, shotguns and ammo, calls, decoys, and camo. Calls and decoys for spring gobblers. That's what I'm talking about. Spring gobbler season right around the corner. If you want to kill your gobbler and you want to see what's best and the hottest, go in and see Pete sometime. Pete's a turkey expert there. He hunts them with a bow. Wrote an article in the Hunting Quarterly. This issue, go online, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, take a look at that. And when you go into Chesapeake Outdoors, you'll get to meet Pete. He's their bow expert down there and your turkey expert, too. All at Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. That's in Chester, Maryland. 410-604-2500, 604-2500. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, guess what? It's Clyde's Sports Shop, and they are ready to rock. They've got everything, all the rockfish, trolling baits, and lures. They got line that they'll wind on your spool, a line winder, an electric line winder that'll do that quickly for you. They got the trolling combos if you need them. Rod, reel, and line with, for really reasonable prices. They've got everything and anything for any type of fishing. Panfish, trout, perch, striped bass, you name it, they've got it. They got the lure selection. They got all the terminal tackle, all the hooks, including the non-offset circle hooks as well. They got all the crabbing supplies, too. Don't forget, live and frozen bait, ready to go right there. Cash and carry. Head out the door. You're going fishing. Why not stop at Clyde's Sport Shop first? They're very conveniently located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. Off 95, it's South Caton Avenue exit. That'll take you right there. 24-hour fishing hotline is down right now, but they're working on it. They're open 7 days a week. Take all major credit cards right there at Clyde's Sport Shop. Website, Clyde's Sports, two S's in the middle, .com, Clyde's Sport Shop.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCPM. He got 13 channels of a wrestling coming in strong from a satellite sim, 200 function remote.
Got a text from Chuck while we were on break. It said, Bay Country Bakery, and two thumbs up. Two of them. So, yeah, I know he and Diane stopped there. They love it. Let's talk to Rob in Bowie and then Claude in Arbutus. Good morning, Rob. How are you? Hello, Rob.
Hey, Alan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm this is Rob from Bowie. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Hey, I can't complain. Hey, you know, we get all these statistics about the striped bass and the overfishing and the this and the that and the condition of the bay. But the people refuse to look at the situation with the Menhaden.
That's right.
That's the biggest culprit. That is the biggest culprit on why the rockfish population is in decline in the Chesapeake Bay.
One of the contributing factors. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, because I can remember, and I've been on the bay now for 60 years, and I've seen over the last, at least the last 5 to 10 years, you could go across the Bay Bridge on any given day in the middle of summertime and see pods and pods and pods of bait fish. You don't see it anymore.
Yes.
You don't see it.
That's right. I agree. I mean, sometimes in the fall, you'll see little schools over there. You'll see little schools of breaking fish. But the acres and acres and acres of breaking fish, you don't see them anymore.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean,
and that's not just Menhaden, no, either. That's some bay anchovies and silversides and other stuff too, you know.
I understand that, but I think really, you know, and even the bluefish. I mean, the bluefish don't even come into the bay like they used to.
No, that's a cyclical thing, but I'm not sure it's based on food sources. It might be.
Well, I don't know, Alan. You know, the fish are only going to go where the food source is at.
Right.
And if they're not coming up through the bay, or if the Menhaden is being stopped, you know, like down in Virginia because
right.
of the big fishery,
yeah.
then you're just not going to have the migration of fish up into the bay.
Exactly. Well, you know, you can't. Yeah. There's an old expression, you can't eat your seed. You can't eat your, what's it called? You can't eat your supply of seed and expect, you know, to grow corn. You know, you can't just continually take these fish and take these fish and take these fish and take these fish. And, you know, recreational anglers take a lot of fish. There's no question about it. But I don't think it's in any way compared to the commercial catch. I really don't.
Absolutely.
And especially Menhaden. And, you know, the quotas on striped bass there, and everybody's like, oh, they're healthy. You know, the reproduction there, the recruitment's there. But you can't keep taking the spawning fish out of the picture. You can't remove them from the landscape without suffering the consequences. And that has to do with anything and everything, including striped bass, including Canada geese, including, you know, Menhaden, you know, whatever it might be. You just can't continually take and take and take and take and take. Because
yeah,
what happens is you wind up with nobody gets any.
Absolutely. Did you hear that Virginia canceled their spring season this year?
Really? No, I hadn't heard that. But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a 2-week season or something like that, and
right.
they're going to go ahead and cancel it. They're going to put it out on the social media or whatever here in the next week or so,
right?
Because their situation down there is poor like ours is.
Yeah, interesting. No, I hadn't heard that Virginia was doing that. So,
but I just believe they're overlooking that Menhaden fishery, and if they don't really do something about it, and then that fishery collapses. Then it's just going to be a total collapse of everything. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was listening to somebody the other day talking about somebody wanted to buy some plastic shad for trolling, and the dealer looked at him and he said, you know, you don't want to go with those big 9-inch shad in the spring. And the guy goes, why not? He said, I hear big baits, big fish. He goes, yeah, that's true, no question. You put a 6-inch shad on because it closer matches the fish that they're feeding on. I thought that made a lot of sense, you know.
Absolutely, it does.
Go big or go home. Does it? You might just go home, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I thought it made a lot of sense. You know, you don't think about it. The fish are the big mature fish aren't here yet that the rockfish are feeding on. So, kind of interesting.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, hey, Rob, I appreciate you weighing in on this. I really do. Send me an email sometime. Send me an email, Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
All right, I sure will, and appreciate you being on there every Saturday morning, and we'll talk to you soon then.
All right, buddy, thanks.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye. There goes Claude in Arbutus. What's going on with you?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Look, I went to a certain place to buy some ammunition the other day, right? They won't sell you four boxes of 50, but they'll sell you one box of 200.
I have no idea what that means, Claude, but
I don't either. It doesn't make no sense to me. I said, what if you wanted a box, just a box of 50, but you wanted four boxes of 50, not a, you know, a one box containing 200. Well, we can't do that. We got to stay in it. Okay, whatever. I mean, but what people ought to do, everybody that owns a gun ought to be down there lobbying, as you said before, because it shouldn't matter if you got a permit. You don't have a permit. If you own a gun, you should be down there lobbying. Going to your senators complaining and your delegates.
Well, guess what?
They don't. I know. You're right.
Do you?
There's hardly any
do
of
you?
Them down there.
Do you? Claude?
Yeah, I'm there.
Do you?
No, I couldn't make it because I had to be someplace that was very important. I'd be to a doctor. Other than that, I would have been there.
You and 100,000 others, Claude, have someplace elsewhere to be when it's hearing time or, you know, the bills are being heard or it's gun day or gun rally time.
But I will be there this year coming up, the next year coming up. I will be there.
All right. I'll take you at your word.
Because everybody needs to be there. You're right, Al. You're 100% right.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
Claude. Ain't too far away from crabbing season, buddy.
What's that?
Ain't too far away from crabbing season.
It's already open. You're right.
It's warming up.
All right,
buddy.
Take care. See ya.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Glenn in Easton, good morning.
Hey, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
Just checking on the status of the gun bills.
Okay. You must be just tuning in.
I am. I'm sorry. Just got up.
Well, the Maryland House of Delegates passed over to the Senate a proposed closing of the purported loophole, a secondary transaction. You know, the gun show loophole where everybody gets a background check. That was about the only thing left of House Bill. What was it? 786, I believe. It was about the only thing left. All the fingerprinting, all the licensing, all the regulated firearms, all that's gone. All that was gone. So the bill was amended down, watered down to secondary transactions. And then the Senate version last night was watered down from the House version. So this bill is a shadow of its former self, not that it won't be egregious, but it focuses more on secondary transactions, and we'll see what happens between now and Monday night. Something will come out, but we're not sure what it's going to be. But it's certainly not as egregious as what it could have been. Now, they did kill the handgun appeal, the handgun permit appeals board. They killed that. They repealed that law. They disbanded that. And now you get to answer to a, let me see. How was it put here?
Junior. An administrative judge.
Governor could veto this bill. The Senate Bill 1000, Handgun Permit Review Board. The bill abolished the state's Handgun Permit Review Board, a body of citizens appointed by the governor, which allowed Marylanders to appeal concealed carry applications that were denied or modified by the state police. Appeals will now be heard by the Office of Administrative Hearings. Senator Jennings said, I have enormous respect for the Maryland State Police, but feel that they are benefits to citizens' oversight over police matters. He voted against the bill. By abolishing the Permit Review Board, the state is diminishing our ability to exercise a constitutional right. This bill has passed the Senate and the House and is on the Senate governor's desk for consideration. He could veto it, and I don't think they have the votes to override his veto on this particular one. The 737 rifles and shotgun transactions, legislation that requires a licensed firearm dealer to sell rifles and shotguns used mainly for sporting purposes and create a licensing mechanism for them that's similar to Maryland's requirements for handguns. This is a far-reaching bill. Missed the mark in a lot of ways. Rifles and shotguns cannot be concealed like a handgun, therefore not be required similar licensing regulations. Most of all, the heart of the issue has nothing to do with legal gun ownership. Forcing increasingly stringent regulations on law-abiding citizens will not address criminal activity. This bill was amended in the Judicial Proceedings Committee, but still requires background checks on law-abiding citizens. And I think we detailed that a little bit more
the closing of the, quote, gun show loophole on secondary transactions, which means if you want to sell a firearm, a long gun, you simply have to go to a dealer to make that transaction, and both parties have to undergo 4473. But we'll see.
Now, here's a question for you. I was asking this at a local gun shop yesterday. If you take that gun in there to do the transfer, they're going to have to charge you sales tax on that gun.
Probably.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. So, yep, no question. Yep, no question. So keep up the faith, brother. In 2 days, it'll be over. We'll find out at the end what comes out of it.
That's the worst part. We always find out.
We always find out at the end. We never know. I mean, if you ever listen to The Last Day, if you ever listen to the recording of it and what they do, it's absolutely amazing if you hear it. I mean, it just it blows your mind. So, but, you know, it's always good to click on the website and listen to what the proceedings are. If you've never heard it,
there's a great Mark Twain quote. I believe it says, "No one's wallet safe while the legislature's in session."
That's correct. You're absolutely right. So,
all right. Well,
thanks for checking in. See you, buddy.
Take care.
Bye bye. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. If you need anything for fishing or crabbing, Clyde Sports Shop is where you go to get it. How about that? Rods and reels, repairs, line, terminal tackle, lures for everything. 242-6108.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233. Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.